I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
In the Pink is sponsored by Tag Heuer, Swiss avant-garde since 1860. Excellence, precision and elegance. Their timepieces are designed for those who love challenges. Make sure you run like clockwork and never miss a thing.
You've referenced it a couple of times now, the problems that you did have with alcohol. Where do you think that stemmed from originally? How many years are we going back now? When did you think the problem started?
If I'm being honest, I knew I had a sort of a problem at probably 16.
Really?
Yeah, because I didn't drink like normal people. I drunk because I like to get drunk, if that makes sense. And because I was shy, I used to have a few beers. I mean, because I used to go to parties. We like there's around my area. There's three schools. There's like Howard, Fairfield, and St Andrews. And I knew a few people from each. But they used to have these massive parties. But I'd be petrified going because I didn't know half the people. So I'd drink to calm the nerves. And then when I started being a bloody full sized baby and getting recognised, like going to Chelsea, everyone was like, "Oh, do you want a beer? Like, you're a legend, mate." And I was like, "I'm not really, am I? Just dress in a nappy and do the conga dance." But then I'd be walking into a pub and people would look at me, so I'd be like really nervous. So I'd always be sort of Dutch courage, they call it, innit? So I'd just have a few beers. But it got a real problem, I think, when my dad died a year after that.
So how old were you then?
Oh, it was about 20. I think I was 30 when dad died.
Was it a shock?
Yeah. It wasn't. No.
What did he die of?
There's post mortem. We haven't really found out. Basically, it was a mistake, which is a bit annoying because my auntie went the same as well. My auntie went in with a bad back, but she was actually pooing through her own bowel, so that got settled out of court. So it was all of those. So dad, yeah, I was with dad the day he died as well. So it was traumatic.
And what sudden?
We went in. He said, "Son, pack some overnight clothes. I think I've got to stay in because his stomach was swollen."
Yeah.
Next thing I knew, he was like going like, you know, fit if you like, and it just wheeled him away quickly. When I say wheeled him away quickly, loads of the alarms started going off. They took him away and he never came back. Do you know what I mean?
What?
So madness.
And how old was he?
He was about 60 odd. Not old. He was like my best mate. Do you know what I mean?
Oh.
So I was like, but it took about 6 months to a year. And then I got that post-traumatic stress and like depression and stuff. And my first thing I did was write drink.
And then to sort of lose yourself.
Yeah, just like dampen the pain. Mm. But then I got addicted to it. Like I'd wake up in the morning and I'd be like, if I'd been out the night before, that is. I'd buy for the next morning. So I'd have little bottles of vodka stored under the bed. And I was living in Balham, so I moved back to Mum's house to look after Mum because she was distraught, you know what I mean? So I'd move back. So I was just hiding it from everyone. So I'd have different hiding places for vodka. So when I woke up, I'd be like, bang, bang. I'd be like, oh, I feel right now. So I was constantly drunk until it got to like 4 days. And I was like, I've got to go to work. And then I'd be like depressed again. But when you use that word depressed, I was depressed properly. Because people say that was a hangover. If you're going to drink vodka straight, you're going to feel down. So I don't think that's depression, do you know what I mean? But the reason I did all that is because I didn't know what was going on. Like, I'd be, like, outside, sober, hadn't had a drink inside me for ages, and I'd be, like, having panic attacks and, like, bad feelings about Dad and that day and all that. I'd be, like, you know, when you just feel sort of, like, self-worthless, like, you just don't want to do, like... So I drunk, basically, and then got addicted to it. And it just got ridiculous. I made the newspapers for being drunk, got called in here, people going, look. Luckily, they saw me that night. It was one of the boxing nights. So I went to boxing. And Barney at the time, who's the managing director of Sky, was like, I saw you that night, and I was... You were getting, like, a load of people going, where'd you? And you were brilliant. You dealt with it amazing. So I don't know what happened afterwards, but I'm just judging on what I saw. So I got away with that. But I was drunk the next morning. And I thought, if I leave really early, I can beat all the people. Like, just get home, do you know what I mean? Chill out. But everyone else had the same idea. So I got to Manchester Manchester train station. There was, like, hundreds of people. Hey, drink, like that. I was like, oh, Christ.
Were you on your own?
Yeah, yeah. Because I woke up on some random hotel room with loads of other...
Well, you just went back with some fans.
I don't. No, no, it was like work people.
Oh right. Okay.
But I didn't know what I was doing when I was drunk. I never like.
Did you have memory loss the next day as well?
Every weekend.
Yeah, really.
So I was a ticking time bomb. So I got arrested for drunken disorderly. It was a stitch up that I found out that someone took a photo and gave to the Sun newspaper. But then my mum saw that, and then she was like. So, like, she's getting over Dad, and then she's seeing a dickhead of a son in the newspaper. Do you know what I mean? Tubes arrested on the tube. So that happened twice. And then it's just, it was a joke. Like, I'd be living in constant fear because I didn't know what I'd done. Like, sometimes I'd be so mad just because so much vodka that I'd type in my own name, like, well, not my own name, I'd type in Tube Soccer AM to the search bar of Twitter to find out where I'd been. I'd be like, well, that's a photo from last night. This is how sad it was. I was like, that looks like it's in Putney. I didn't have a fucking clue where I was. How I managed to function and do a job.
I was going to say, how did you? Like, you came in here and into Sky and performed.
Yeah, it was hard. It was hard. The amount of times I remember I did an interview with Kelly Brook and Keith Lemon. And I'd been to Reading Festival, and I'd been drinking all the way to the interview. I was battered. I think I ripped my top. But then luckily Keith Lemon ripped his top as well. Poor Kelly Brook was just sat there like... She obviously could smell me. You know what I mean? Because vodka like, comes out of everywhere, do you know what I mean? But I got that back to the edit suite, and I didn't know what I did. Everyone's like, Tubes, you're hilarious. And I'm like... I don't remember doing
and
that.
And the problem is, if people are saying it's funny...
Well, that was the point.
You're sort of...
That was the point, yeah.
Was there any part of you that thought, I almost need the booze to be that funny?
Nah, because I knew I am funnier without
when you're
booze.
Sober.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, 3 or 4 pints, hilarious.
Yeah.
Everyone would be like,
just take the edge off.
6 pints, yeah. Boring, because I was just like, well, not 6 pints, I'm like 15 remember? Pints, you know what I mean? Just like, just a knob in the corner, just going, looking for the next drink.
Yeah.
And I'd have my jacket full of, like, vodka.
What, like sneaking booze into places?
Yeah. Oh, no, not even... Not to drink it in the pub.
But just so that you always had it.
So I had it when I got the cab home. So then I'd phone a cab driver that I'd met a few months back. I'd used to just give him a load of money, just like... Not that I had a lot of money. But I'd just be like, yeah, can you take me to just drive around for a bit so I can drink vodka and play some music? It was mad. Like, my life was revolved around drink. So I'd be like, right, so I got an interview on Wednesday... So I can't drink Tuesday, but it's in Manchester, so it will go well, and everyone like the footballer will be like, that's quality, that Tuesday, that's quality, that straight away I'll be like, drink. So I go to the train station, buy loads of drink, smoked at the time as well, so I go and buy, this is how mad I was, so I'd be like, right, so I'm going to need a cigarette because I was highly addicted to that as well, so I buy deodorant. Go into those virgin toilets. You know, when someone starts speaking to you, go, hello, I'm the toilet. Yeah. And I was like,
freaks me out.
You know, it was weird.
Yeah, yeah.
So I buy deodorant, I smoke a cigarette, and I'd be like a fucking idiot. Do you know what I mean? Then I'd get home and be like, right, straight to the Running Mare in Cobham. And then by Thursday morning came, I'd be like, gagging for a drink, so I'll be like, I've got to go and edit that piece that yesterday I was so happy about without alcohol. Now I'm like down. Do you know what I mean? Like panicking, like, oh shit. So then what would I do? I'd go to the off licence, buy two or three little bottles of vodka, bang, 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 buy a pack of Airwaves, you know, those chewing gums that are proper naughty, like burn, just slap them in my mouth.
And what, hope that people wouldn't notice?
Hope that people would notice.
And were people noticing?
Not really.
Really? That's a surprise.
A few people would, because I'd sober myself out, there's a few times I miscalculated it, then I'd go down to Sign Lane, there's an off licence there, because again, the monkey on the shoulder was going, more alcohol, more, so I have to go down. There's a few times I ballsed it right up, and that was not good. But
did you ever take drugs as well? Or was it
never drugs? Never touch drugs. Mm. I don't know if I'd be alive if I took drugs, because I'm so addictive to things. Addicted to things. So if I took drugs, I'd be like. So yeah, I was like. So basically, every weekend I've moved back to live with Mum to look after her, and she's like, every time I left the house, she'd be like, "Oh God, what's going to happen?"
So she knew there was a problem.
Yeah. I think a lot of people did. I wouldn't admit it. And if you're an alcoholic, the only person who can help you is you to say, I've got a problem. I need to stop.
But was there a catalyst for that?
Yeah.
So what was the moment when you realised you could change?
So I was coming to terms with it, and I kept trying to do it, like, come off it. And so I managed to do like 3 or 4 weeks, but then I'd split up with a girlfriend and be like, oh, fuck, and just drink again. So anyway, I got offered to do one of these paid gigs in Manchester. And I still know when people say, oh, do you want to come and do this? And I know that we'll give you a bit of money. I'm like, I'm so lucky. Like, it's amazing. Like, I'm like, this is the best. You know, I'm so, you know.
And there's always a part of you that thinks that might, those offers might dry up. You know, you've got to take them when they're there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I was like, yeah, I do that. It was a right laugh. Mm. It was some building company, and I just had to sort of muck around. And I was like, that comes quite natural to me. I'm happy days. So I went and did that. And then afterwards they went, oh, do you want a beer? I was like, I'm not supposed to be drinking. I went, oh, do you know what? Sod it. No one here. I'm not going to upset anyone, like my family or my brother or my mum. So I was like, well, I'm going home tomorrow anyway. So I was like, yeah. So it was a nice hot summer's day. I just earned, you know, I don't know, whatever it was. And I was like, yeah, I'm like, this is really cool. Like, everyone's like, oh, you were brilliant, really funny. And I was like, yeah, I was like, oh, great. So then as soon as the first Cronenberg, like half of it went down, I was like, it just gave me this massive buzz. Like a feeling of like, yes, like, do you know what I mean? It's like injecting yourself with something. Like I said, I've never taken drugs, but it was like, oh wow, like everything's brilliant, like, you know, do you know what I mean? So then there's no, I couldn't stop. I could not stop at one. I tried it once and it was like, I was proper gagging. Like people, you know when people say, you don't go in the pub for one, you know, they make jokes, you can't just go for one or two. I literally couldn't. I've seen my mates do it. Quick in, pint, see your boys home. And I used to look at them, even when I was young, going, how have they done that? Because I couldn't do it. I'd be like, I'd be planning the next one, especially later on down the line. So anyway, pints, went into Manchester. I think I told some of my mates to come up. They jumped on a train, went to Manchester. Did the classic again, woke up the next morning in a hotel room, mini bar, took it all. And they were staying up or something. So, and then that was it. You know when you're like a kid at Christmas and you know that your stocking's there and your Christmas present's done and you get so excited. I was looking, so I had a few of the vodkas from the minibar. Then I walked into Manchester and I saw a pub. And it was open. It was like 6:30 in the morning. Because I was doing my usual scout around trying to get more alcohol, but all the shops were closed. And I saw a pub, a Wetherspoons. It was open, and I've got that feeling. It's like, oh my God, it's like, this is the best thing ever. And how sad's that? I was like, so I went straight in the pub.
And you're on your own?
Yeah. Me and my music. I used to love it. That's the actual things I miss about drinking now, is just sitting outside, listening to music, having a few pints, but I can't. Do you know what I mean? So anyway, I went in this pub, like, I was like, this is amazing. 7 o'clock in the morning, I'm not allowed to drink. No one's looking at me like, weird. Something like that, a few Cronenbergs. They're like, would you like any breakfast there? I was like, oh, absolutely not. I was like, can I have a shot though? And they were like, yeah. They were like, are you the guy from... I was like, yeah. And then I was like, oh, Christ. So then I moved around to the corner. Just sat there for hours, just drinking. Probably talking nonsense to people on the phone. But anyway, next thing I knew, I was in my mum's spare room at home. I woke up, I was like, I was in Manchester. I was like, and I couldn't work it out. So I was like, oh God. So I walked downstairs, tried to put on the act like I did for years, and went, you all right, mum? She's just like that. Couldn't even look at me. I was like, do you know what you've done today? I went, I just guessed. I went, yeah, got the train back, you know, I was a bit tired. She was like, no. She said, I had to drag you all the way down Cobham Station platform. I was like, oh God. And she was in tears. I was like, then the fear came in, I had the shakes. Mum's crying. I was like, this has got to stop. This is absolutely ridiculous. I don't even remember. I lost all my bag. Imagine my poor mum, middle of the afternoon,
and getting over dragging me down. The death of your father as well.
This is like a massive, selfish bastard. I was like, I've got to stop this, and I did.
That was it.
And that was it.
So what happened?
Just said, I'll stop. She's like, I've heard it all before. I was like, no, I'll stop. So I went to one AA meeting, and it wasn't for me. And I just figured out, if I don't put that first drink to my mouth, these 5 days that follow won't happen. So I started slowly. It was hard, because my whole life was like Chelsea, because I got a season ticket at Chelsea. Chelsea's drink day. I sometimes wouldn't even remember the match. So all those little triggers, like Chelsea, after the interview, the buzz came, and then the like drink came. So I was like, nope. And then I found the gym. So I was like, right, I need to do something.
Got to get that fix from somewhere.
I need to get a buzz from somewhere. I need the buzz. So.
And was the gym enough for that?
It had to be, because I couldn't let my mum be like that again.
No.
So I was grumpy. But then I suddenly, it gets easier. Like I say to a lot of people now that ask me, and like a lot of people direct message me on Instagram saying, because I'm quite open about it, because I think it helps people, do you know what I mean?
Definitely.
Yeah, so that's why I don't do it to go, oh, I beat alcohol, you know what I mean? Because there's nothing to be like proud of that you're an alcoholic. Well, but do you know what I mean? I speak out about it so other people who have the same problem, because you know, it's peer pressure. In this country, it's what we do, innit?
Mm.
Pub, where should we meet? Pub? You know, in different countries, there's in America, you can go to the beach, or I don't know, because of the weather, I suppose, but it's the culture here.
Mm.
Meet down the pub.
It's definitely harder to say no.
Yeah, and you know, I was just one of those people that just did it. So a lot of people direct message me, like, can you help me? And I try and get their number and phone them, because my fingers hurt, texting long messages. You know what I mean? So I try and phone as many people as I can to help.
But I mean, just how hard is it to resist that first drink? I mean, because as you say, it's been part of you for like
30 years.
Bloody hell. Yeah, well, started not 30 drinking. Years no, no, six, so 50, you about 16 were you 16 years problem?
Yeah. So and then you were about 18 years. I give up 3.5 years ago.
So you've been sober 3.5 years.
Yeah.
Well, you've not even had a sip of alcohol.
No, I can't.
That is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Wow. God, congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
That is incredible.
Yeah, from what I was. So yeah, it's been.
And what about your mum? How well, I mean, she's so proud of you.
No, she doesn't have to worry no more. So she's like, she loves it.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's good.
And how have you filled that void? So you've done it first and foremost, from what I can gather, for your mum. That was, you know, she's key in that. And then obviously the gym's tried to fill a bit of a void, but you've thrown yourself into work more. What other things have you...
YouTube channel.
Yeah.
I play a lot of golf now. The gym. One thing that annoys me, looking back, is alcohol ruined, like, Like, all my mates now are like 35, like my age, 36, 37. They're all like...
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Married with kids. Mm. But my love for 10, 15 years, like I was saying, was vodka and Kronenbourg. So I look back now sometimes and go, you know, that's because I had girlfriends, but I was a liability.
And you weren't in the right place to properly commit to someone.
And imagine having, like, your girlfriend thinking, I want to have kids with this guy, who can be the nicest person. As soon as he has half a beer, he's gone.
But your personality didn't change. Like, you weren't a bad drunk, were you?
Well, no, but
obviously it's impossible to be around when someone's smashed and it's a continuous thing.
Well, yeah, if you're getting
up,
do you know what I mean? If you're getting up in the morning, the next morning, you wake up next to your girlfriend and you're gagging for a drink. Mm. It wasn't the case that I could just go, right, I'll leave that. Mm. I had to get it. Mm. So
it's like she's in a relationship with you and the drink.
Yeah.
It's like,
And they'd work it out. They'd be like, where are you going? I'd start off like saying, I'm just going to go and make breakfast, like get some eggs or something. I was fucking lying. I was going down, bash, 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 bottles of vodka, and then come back with some eggs. He'd be like, oh, you're not rough this morning. And be like, no, I was still like, I just topped up.
Yeah.
But then...
You didn't give yourself enough time to be hungover.
No. Yeah. But then she'd be like, oh, do you want to go for a walk? Like... Which I'd love doing now.
Yeah.
Which if I hadn't been out the night before, I'd love to do. But then I'd be thinking, no, because I'm going to have another craving in a few hours. Mm. So I'd be like, yeah, but then maybe we stop for lunch at a pub. Do you know what I mean? And then she'd be like, are you drunk? And be like, no, just a bit tight. They'd be like, and it'd cause so many arguments. Mm. So that's one thing I look back on and go, that is silly.
Do you appreciate different things now? Like you said, you like to walk now. Are there other things that you just hadn't noticed in life that you are able to sort of see the value in now that you don't have booze?
Everyday life.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
lovely. When you don't drink, you realise you have so many more hours. Because, like, if you think about it, you go out and you get up late, you're hanging, or in my case, looking for the next drink. Blanket, like, there'd be weekends I'd be like, what have I done? I wouldn't even know. I'd be like, well, that's a waste.
Yeah.
Now it's like, I'm up at 6 every morning, like, to the gym, playing golf. You know what I mean? I just do so much stuff now.
Yeah.
But you take that for granted, because when you're in that sort of state, it's just ongoing, like, feel depressed. I keep saying depressed. Do you know what I mean? Feel really down.
But do you know what? Don't feel bad about saying depressed, you know, because it takes lots of different guises. I think some people almost feel guilty saying that they've got depression, because they go, well, maybe I'm not as depressed as the next person.
No, because I've been through depression.
Yeah.
I had that when the postnatal, not postnatal, the post-traumatic stress, you know what I mean?
Too well to be postnatal.
So I've had that, so I know what it feels like.
But when it takes different forms.
Yeah, true. I mean, but when you're applying yourself with straight vodka, lots of, like, sometimes two or three big bottles like that a day, that gives you, what does it mean? It makes you down, doesn't it? It's a depressant. So that's what I mean by that.
Right.
Because there's so much of people who do suffer from depression without any alcohol. So I was just adding to that with vodka, if you know what I mean.
So a couple of years later, something crazy happens. You have a heart attack.
Yeah, so
I mean that.
I was like, how's your luck? How's your bloody luck? Beat alcohol. Never been through it in my life. And then I have a heart attack and nearly die.
And you were like...
Thanks.
35 at the time?
Yeah, 2 years ago.
It's a couple of, yeah.
35, yeah. So I'm 37 now. Yeah, I had a big hole in my heart. And never knew. And had
so you had an existing condition that you didn't know about?
Yeah, I had a hole in my heart. You know, you
was
know,
that hereditary? Did you? Was there any history of that?
And plus, we have heart problems in the family. Yeah, so... and plus, let's not beat around the bush. My past obviously did not help.
You abused your body.
Yeah, I mean, let's. I'm saying it was what was caused it was the hole in the heart. But you know, drinking bottles of vodka straight is not good for you.
And what was your diet like when you were drinking? Because I would.
I didn't really eat.
Oh, you didn't eat.
But then on a Sunday night when I was on the come down, whatever. When I say come down, that's not drugs, by the way. The come down of alcohol. I'd eat Chinese pizza,
crap.
But then, do you know what? During the week, I could go 5 days without. Do you know what I mean?
What, without booze?
Yeah. So this is the problem. Like, people think an alcoholic is someone who drinks every day. It's not. An alcoholic is someone who can't control their relationship with drink.
Right.
So there's two types. Some people drink every day because they can't control their relationship with booze. Or some people just binge. But I was addicted to it, so that's an alcoholic.
Right.
So I could go 3 or 4 days without.
But then some days you'd wake up and be the first thing you think about.
No, that would only be if I'd drunk the night before. So if it was in my system, I'd have like 5 hours kip.
Right.
Yeah, so it's in the system. So once it's out the system, it was hard to get it out. I could go 3 or 4 days without.
I'm going to come back to your heart attack in a minute.
Yeah.
God. That's not something I'd expect to say.
After the break, we'll talk about your heart attack.
Yeah. Woo! But just to finish on the alcoholism, what advice would you give to somebody that thinks they don't have an out to this? Because everybody's different, of course. But I'm conscious of the fact that you tried AA and you said it wasn't for you. You just stopped. Like, that for me shows incredible willpower. And you say that you've got an addictive personality.
Yeah.
But what did you channel in those moments where you had to resist booze? What do you still channel now? Because, you know, there'll be a lot of people out there going, I can't do that. Yeah, that's bloody hard.
You can, because I've done it. And, you know, it's
but you have to have a strong enough reason to do it.
The first thing I'd say to someone who thinks there's an alcoholic or suffering with like alcohol dependency is say to someone, I've got a problem. Once someone can share that pain with you, if you like, then you feel such a sort of relief that you've said it,
because you're admitting it to yourself.
I've been doing it for years. Do you know what I mean? I said to you earlier that I sort of knew, was that 16, 17, that I wasn't normal. I remember a few times like my uncle being in the pub with me at Chelsea, and he'd just look, because I wouldn't muck around with pints. I'd get it, drink it, like they'd be like halfway and I'd be getting my second, they'd be finishing their first, I'd be on my third. And just, I remember when I was younger, like they'd go, he'd be like, can't, like, you get a bit angry, like, what are you doing? I'd be like, what? I thought it was normal.
And so, did you get angry back?
Not really, because like I said, I sort of knew. So I denied it for years, but trust me, it does ruin a lot of things and it's not worth it. So just tell people. Or if you don't want to tell people, go and get help. Because AA meetings might be... There were so many people in these AA meetings and they were like, it's the best thing. I was speaking to them afterwards. I was like, it's my first one. They were like, I live by it. I haven't had a drink for 10 years, but I come here every day or every 2 days. And for me, I didn't... I found it all a bit like, I didn't want to, because I'm, like I said, I'm shy. I didn't want to be reading stuff like all these things out of a book. I sat in the back and listened. And it was really helpful, actually, because a man came and he was like, I was a successful businessman. And this is what he said was like, That's what I did. Like, blank out, wife left him, had a £2 million house, just drunk. And I could relate to that. Not the £2 million house, because I work at Skype, do you know what I mean? But I could relate, like, it was all going. I'd lost a girlfriend. Mum's getting upset. My brother was like, I don't want to go for a pint with him. Friends were like, nah, should we just go for a curry? Like, I see all the similarities he was saying on a bigger scale. So that helped me, but I didn't really like the way it was structured. But that's not to say that someone else wouldn't.
Yeah.
People are different. I also saw a counsellor, but I spent probably a year lying to him. I paid him quite a lot of money per hour, but that was just to keep Mum happy. So he said, what's the problem? I said, I'm a binge drinker. He went, okay. He was like, so what do you drink? And if you go to Chelsea, what do you drink? First lie. I went, 6 pints. He went, okay.
What was the truth?
Oh, about, well, probably 4 little bottles of vodka on the way there.
Right.
4 or 5 before the game. I'd buy some vodkas for half time. Then 3 pints. Go to the toilet in Matthew Harding, smoke out in the cubicle like a saddo, drinking vodka. Watch second half like that, then go out, and then blank out, and then do the same thing on Sunday morning, drink again. So, yeah, it was all lies. So then I'd go back the next week, he's like, how did you do? And I went, well, I think I did 8 pints. And he told me at the end, he's like, I knew you were lying, but I can't tell my client that he's a liar.
Yeah.
So he's proud of me
and
as well.
And do you worry?
You need to go and whatever's best for you, but speak.
Yeah, yeah.
So whether you speak to your family, your friends, AA meeting, counsellor, you have to speak out.
Mm.
Don't suffer alone.
It's difficult though, isn't it? Really difficult. Do you ever worry about a relapse?
No. There's been a few times that I got really hyped about a good interview or YouTube going really well. Like back in the day, I'd have ruined this already. Like, I've got 250,000 views on one video. I'd be like, crash, smash, like, yay. I'd have ruined it by now. But there's a few times the monkey on the shoulder again is going, oh, time for a beer. And I just think of, like, my mum crying, getting dragged along. I can't remember, but I just picture all these things and really quickly that urge is gone.
That's amazing.
So that's how I've dealt with it.
Mm. And what about association? Like, do you go back to Chelsea now and watch the game sober and never have that kind of like hankering to go and get some booze?
No.
That's amazing. Yeah. I mean, honestly, Tubes, that is amazing.
Yeah, but like,
incredible willpower.
Well, yeah, I've done pretty good.
You really have.
But like, the first 6 months was hard. I'd started not going for a bit because there's so many triggers there.
Yeah.
So many triggers like there, like the pub downstairs, you know. So, but now I just love it. Drive.
Do you know what? It's funny because people always say that it's about reassociating those things rather than blank it out and say, I'm just not going to do it.
Mm.
Go, but associate it with something different. And I know that's probably easier said than done, but, you know, something as simple as a song. You know how like a song can come on the... Stick with me on this.
Yeah.
You know how a song can come on the radio and you can remember a traumatic time or X 100%. Or something. And you go, oh, just turn the radio off.
Yeah.
Just turn it off. The trick, apparently, is just to keep listening until you reassociate it. I had this after I gave birth. I had real issues after giving birth because it was such a traumatic birth. And I could not talk about the birth. I could not deal with the emotions. I couldn't confront it. And in the end, I went to see someone who said to me, you have to just keep talking about it until it's associated with happy thoughts and until it doesn't become a problem anymore.
See, that's interesting.
But it took a lot.
Yeah.
The anxiety tied up in it. Well, I had a birthing playlist, right, on my iPhone. And I'd planned this whole... Sorry, I'm digressing slightly here.
No, that's good.
But I had this birthing playlist and I had all these beautiful songs on it. And... It's going to make me... Sorry. It makes me emotional thinking about it. But I would listen to the music.
Yeah.
And I would be so... caught up in how difficult the birth was, and I thought I was going to lose my baby, and then I thought I was, you know, potentially going to die. I couldn't listen to any of that music ever again, and any song, there was probably 60 songs on it, any song from that playlist came on the radio, came on, I'd just turn it off. And in the end, I've made myself start listening to it and say, I've got this beautiful baby boy. I'm so lucky.
Yeah.
That song is a thing of joy rather than a thing of anxiety. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
So, I don't know. I don't know what the point I was making, it is interesting how your brain
it's
works.
Right, though, isn't it? Because it's different for different people.
Yeah.
Like, for you to do that is incredible, and you've got the willpower and the brain strength to turn that around.
Oh, but it took a long time as well.
But it's like me going to Chelsea.
Yeah.
Like, at first, I was like, no, I'm not listening to those songs, going to Chelsea.
Mm.
But now I'm like, this is amazing.
Mm.
So it does turn out for the best.
Mm.
But, you know, I wouldn't go in and stand in a pub. I mean,
can you go into pubs now?
I can do, but I find it boring.
Yeah,
like you could get a pint of Cronenberg now and put it straight in front of my face. It wouldn't bother me. What would balls up my whole life is if I had one sip, and I mean one sip. That's why, like, when I get a glass now and it's just water, I'm like, smell it, because I swear to God, if I drunk it and it was vodka, that would be it.
Wow,
that would be back on it.
Yeah,
so it's. Yeah. You have to be careful going to pubs because you never know what you know. Is that my sparkling water? Oh no, that's gin and tonic. Come on, let's have it. So that's what it would be like.
Yeah. Blimey. So listen, on the heart attack.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that still blows my mind that you had a heart attack, and thank God, you know, and I know about the story of the sequence of events that you were. Your mum had a phone on her when you text her, which is crazy. And, you know, the fact that the paramedics were able to react so quickly and everybody had this role in saving you, which is awesome.
Yeah.
What did it do to you longer term in terms of your own mortality and vulnerability and change you as a person? Did it change you as a person? Has it made you kind of be more grateful? Or what sort of the lasting effects do you think?
No, not really. And only because admitting I was an alcoholic and changing my life around. That all happened then.
Mm.
The grateful, like, the change of life, really? Like, I'm glad to be here sort of thing. That was just a complete ball ache, if I'm honest.
Did it have an impact on really, you psychologically?
But little things, like, if I'm driving along now and I get indigestion
and
I burp and it doesn't go, I start panicking. Little things like that.
Really?
But
Have you had any sort of surgery to prevent, you know?
Yeah, I've got a stent. I'm on, my heart's working at 55% now, I think it was last time we checked. Yeah, but you look at me like that, but that's good. I can do anything I want.
Wow. So it's harder to train and stuff.
Yeah, I train every day now. It's harder to lose weight because some of the pills I'm on slow down the heart and stuff. Yeah. They do explain
it.
Yeah, I'm on that. I was on 12 a day.
Oh my God.
I could feel myself rattling around every time I walked. But now I'm down to 4 now. So.
And you feel good?
Yeah, I feel good. I feel good. Sometimes I get a bit tired, but I take that all day.
Yeah.
Could be dead, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, no, sometimes a bit tired, but it's the pills. Like, I came off some pills and they went, actually, your cholesterol's low or something, or your heart, not life threatening, but they go, it's not, you've got to get to these levels.
Mm.
And I go back on some more pills and that sort of takes its toll, but on the whole, I'm good. But it wasn't great fun. But I know what you mean by, you know, do you look at life any differently? I would have done massively if I hadn't gone through all the stuff with the alcohol, because that was the true, like, awakening, if you like, of like, wow, life's good. Do you know what I mean?
It feels like you've had a whole life at the age of 37. It feels like
you've been quite a lot, haven't I? Yeah. Become an alcoholic, had a heart attack. But no.
Award winning broadcaster. I mean, you probably haven't. Have you won an award? I think you should. Let's create one.
I think I won Zoo's Coolest Man.
Yeah.
Well, no, I came 5th place. Don't get me wrong. Fifth place, I was like, I'll take that. It's only because Rockets help people to vote for me, but yeah, I'll take that.
Zeus defunct a long time ago, yeah, isn't it?
Exactly, but
deeply
I've still
sexist
got the,
publication.
I've still got the trophy somewhere like that. Yeah, I'm pretty cool.
Oh. Tubes, it's been an absolute pleasure.
No,
thank
it.
You for no. your company today. And yeah, I'd like to say let's go down the pub, but I won't do that to you.
In the Pink is sponsored by Bose. Treat your ears and your senses with the Bose Noise Cancelling 700 series. Their unrivaled noise cancelling technology means you'll hear and be heard like never before. and touch and voice recognition mean you're free to keep your head up and you'll never miss a thing.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.